I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, thou art my, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and guided me with gladness. To this end, that my glory may sing praises today, and not be silent, O Lord, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, as we go into your word, Father, we pray that in coming of your word will shed light into our heart and mind this morning. And Lord, you will speak to us. You will meet us at the point of our need. You will minister your greatness into our life this morning. And at the end of this service, Lord, people around us will know that we've been with Jesus today. Bless this word, Lord, and let it come as a truth of yourself unto each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This morning, as the Lord is leading us this morning, is a big difference from what we are. I would normally run the service because God is leading that I should share this word before we go around the table. And the topic is called the big turnaround. The big turnaround. And the psalm that the verse I'm picking up this morning is that verse 11 of that Psalm 30 says, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and guided me with gladness. It's interesting because we all know that life is a journey. Even non-Christians know that life is a journey. We all know that there is a process in life where we all journey through. A child is born, a child gets to a certain age, he goes to school. He gets to a certain age, he leaves the primary school, he goes to secondary school. From that secondary school, he goes into apprenticeship, or he goes to do his sixth form or A-levels, as they call it. He goes from there, go to the university, goes from there, start work. But for every step along the way is a journey of life. Even when he starts work, he gets to 65, he becomes a pensioner, doesn't he? Yes. No, I'm not there yet. I'm not part of it. He becomes a pensioner. But it's a journey. And so is our Christian life. So is our Christian life. Life for us as a Christian is a journey. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, as we journey through, you have an assurance and a hope that no matter how wonderful the world may seem, there is a better life beyond. Because I've just given you a run-through of a life of a human being, of a person. But you know, as you journey through this life, there's challenges. There's problem along the way. I failed my A-levels, and I had to go and rewrite access course to be able to get into university. That's part of the problem. I have parents that nag me so much. They want me to read my book. That's part of my problem. That's the journey. Then I get into university. I have lecturers that tell me if I don't read, I won't pass. That's part of my problem. Then I get into work. I have bosses that says, oh, you've not met your target. That's part of my problem. And then I get home. I have a wife that needs money for me to provide food on the table. It's part of my problem. This is the journey of life. Then you get older, and then you realize that, oh, the body is weak. I can't do many things I used to do before. Part of the life problem. And that is how we journey through. And that is why it's so difficult in the journey of life. But then there's a goal in every journey. For a child, he wants to grow and get into secondary school. He gets into secondary school, he wants to, oh, before I even say that, The latest thing that I have in my house is when they want to turn to teenagers. It's a very interesting time. And then when they turn to teenagers, they want to get out of teenage age. My son became 17 yesterday, and one of the interesting thing about the message that I got from one of his cousins was that, oh, now you're going to turn 18, and that means that it's going to be a strange life for you because you're going to be an adult. And I'm like, yes, that's it. Responsibility comes with that. But that's the journey of life. But in every journey, there is a goal. In every work environment, there is a set goal. And those set goals sometimes are very difficult to meet. But there's something about the journey with Christ Jesus. The good thing about it is that our set goal is reassuring us that we are sojourners and pilgrims in this world. So our life is not limited to just the set goal in this world. We're not even bothered about the set goals in this world because we know that there's a place that has been prepared for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be also. So basically, it's not us then trying to achieve something. It is what Jesus has achieved. Am I making any sense here? It's what Jesus has achieved for us. He has prepared a place for us that where he is, we will be. So when we say we are sojourners and strangers and pilgrims in this world, we're saying it with boldness because we know that there is a world beyond for us. There is a place we are going to. And as we journey through life and through different experiences and physical experiences, we are reassured in our life that there is a hope and a future. 1 Peter 2:11, Hebrews 11:13 and 16, Psalm 119 verse 19 talks about us being pilgrims and sojourners on this world. In life journey, we channel a course. And like I said, we've been challenged by recent educational courses and everything and the way school goes. In professional progression, which is an interesting thing, and Emily is here, she will tell us about how they treat her in our office. When you get into an office, this is the truth. When I first started working as a solicitor, I was a coffee maker. That's all they give you to do. You make photocopies, and you make coffee for other people. That's what you do. You make coffee for every barista that comes. You just sit down there, and you start making coffees, and then they give you a pile of papers. Go and do your research, and then you copy, and that is the journey. And then you continue before you then become maybe establish on your own, and then you become a manager. You then continue with life. But with Jesus Christ, we don't have that journey. We came into a finished product. How did that happen? We came into a product that was produced, completed. Because it's not by our own righteousness, it's by his grace. It's not by our ability. It's not by the work of our hand, it's by his grace. It's not by our knowledge, it's by his mercy. The plan of God to save us and to rescue us from the troubles around us has been established from the beginning of creation. Go back to Genesis 3. When God said, the child of that woman will bruise the head of the serpent. When he made that promise for you and I, when he made that plan from creation, that even when we fail, he's there to rescue us. But the interesting part of it is that he's not just rescuing us at that moment. It's the continuous presence of God at the right hand of God saying, the presence of Jesus at the right hand of God saying, Father, forgive them. Because he becomes our continuous advocate into a position that we find ourselves where we did not work for. The progression of the world society is a very, very slow pace where you go through ups and downs. It's not that you don't have ups and downs in a journey of a Christian, but one thing is sure, weeping may last all night, but your joy comes in the morning. But that joy that comes in the morning comes because God has already planned it for you, because you're already in his plan and purpose. He says, I know the plan I have towards you, a plan of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. The interesting thing about this progression is that God has put us in a position of success and progression. It is not by way of appraisal. Every year they do an appraisal for you at work, don't they? This is the financial year ending, and they do an appraisal for you. But with God, it is the grace. It is not your appraisal. It is just the grace of God. God turns our life around. He makes us well through the finished work of Jesus Christ. How did this happen? All that he asks of you is to acknowledge him in all your ways. Is to acknowledge him. What does that mean? Romans 10 verse 4 says, you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. Simple acknowledgement of the person of Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him. This is what King David understood when he wrote this psalm. This is the understanding that he had when he wrote Psalm 30. And when he was talking about Psalm 30, he started by saying one thing. When you acknowledge someone, you cry to them. David in verse 8 said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. That was the word in there. That was the special link between enjoying the grace of God and living in difficult situation. David acknowledged God by crying unto him. To as many, the Bible says, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. To as many that believed in his name. So, the knowledge of Jesus Christ is your main, is your catalyst here. Is the reason why you will live a life that is establishing God. The turnaround for you is crying unto God, looking unto God. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Psalm 34 verse 5 says, they looked to him and they were radiant and they were never put to shame. Turning unto God, keeping your gaze upon God, not looking at things around you. Because the problem in the world that we live in is that we look at the noises around us and we forget that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We might be here. Things might be happening. Syria might be bombed like every day. There might be trouble on our street. But remember what Psalm 91 says. 1,000 shall fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left. No evil will befall you. But that is if you are in the plan and purpose of God. The first thing is to do what David did. Cry unto God. Seek God. Let him take preeminence in your life. And he will turn things around for you. One of the things that interests me about David as well, in one of the Psalms in his writing, is Psalm 27 verse 4. He said, one thing I desire and one thing I long after is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David had the knowledge of that God, and he wanted to continually be in his presence. And remember, David's turnaround was in the Old Testament. There's not been the grace that God brought. David had a great understanding of who God is, and his life was changed for better. He had a great turnaround. But you know the biggest turnaround? The biggest turnaround we just celebrated about 3 Sundays ago. The biggest turnaround was Jesus dying on the cross. The biggest turnaround was Jesus giving himself for you and for me. That is the greatest turnaround in history. And you know what changed, what that brought to us? That brought a big change in the way the world order is made. This is the first person, human, that will die and rise again. This is the first person that told everyone that give me 3 days, I will die and I will rise again. He was crucified, but he rose again. But the crucifixion is not just the cross of it. It's the fact that the crucifixion was for our salvation. A man without sin, taking upon the sin of the world. A man who has never had any condemnation, taking upon the sin of the world. That's the biggest turnaround for us. And as many people that believed in that, they have been given the right to become the sons of God. As many that believed in that, in his name. The greatest thing in history was the fact that his blood was shed, which gave us victory. And it was meant to be a defeat. His death was meant to be a defeat because the Roman and the Jewish people were planning that is the end. That is the end of this man who is preaching the gospel. But then his resurrection brought a new life. And if we remember what I said on Easter Sunday, it's not just him resurrecting that we're celebrating. We're celebrating ourselves because on that day, we died with him and we rose with him. So when we're celebrating Easter, we're not just celebrating Jesus, we're celebrating ourselves. We're celebrating our new life in Christ Jesus. So our newness of Christ, our turnaround started from that point where he went and died and rose again. And the good thing about it is that he basically showed us what difficulty the Old Testament people were faced with. Why their sacrifice was a yearly sacrifice and why his own sacrifice was just once. Once he died to die for no man to die again. The good thing about his death was that in the Old Testament, every priest will have to do a sacrifice for himself. Will have to do a sacrifice to atone himself so as to atone others. I don't know whether we get that. A priest will have to do a blood sacrifice for himself first, and when he finish, he then have to do for others. Because he can't go into God except he's already confessed his sin and his sins are forgiven. And he does that before he does others. But here is a lamb without sin. Here is a man who had never had any cause to commit any sin. But then he took the sin of the world upon himself. And when he did that, he set us free from the bondage of sin. And he encourages us, he said, we should not go back to that anymore. We should not go back to that position anymore. We've been turned around. Things have been changed for us. We've been made into a new person. We've been made into a new nature, into a new being. Therefore, we should not see ourselves as that old person anymore. Our mindset needs to change, not just our belief. Our mindset also needs to change. We need to change from that condemnation. And that is why when Paul was writing Romans 8, he was talking about his past person. And when he got to Romans 8, verse 1, he said, there is therefore. That was a change. He realized the point of change in his life. There is therefore no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. If you are truly in Christ Jesus, then your past should be your past. Your presence is a journey with God. Amen. And your journey with God is a journey of faith. Amen. Every step I take should be according to the will of God. Every talk, every word that I speak should be in accordance with the will of God. Every move that I make, everything, every fiber of me should be God. My walk, my life, my home, everything about me. So I shouldn't, there's no point where I would then separate myself from God anymore. Nothing should separate me from God. Because that is what Jesus has come to do, to reconcile us back to that Garden of Eden, to that position of relationship. The turnaround for us is that the world might see us as not being worth anything. But with God, we are worth his salvation. The world might see us as being weak and not strong. But in our weakness, God became our strength. The world might see us as not being able to come into that priestly position. But one thing is sure. God has come so that he might take us into that role of royal priesthood, holy nation, called out of darkness into the marvelous light. That is what God has done for us. The greatest turnaround is knowing Jesus. The greatest turnaround took place at Calvary. And if you and I have been turned into that position of relationship with Christ Jesus, let us not take ourselves back into the world again. Let us not condemn ourselves anymore, because God has not condemned us. Jesus said when he started his ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61 verse 1, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And I want us to read that as we conclude this morning and as we come round the table. I want us to read that and have that faith in Christ Jesus this morning. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised. God has sent his only Son to turn things around for us, to make us into a new nature. God has sent his only Son to redeem us from the world of darkness into his marvelous light. God has sent his only Son to rescue us from the world of sin and condemnation. Therefore, we should no longer condemn ourselves. God has paid the price for your salvation. God has paid the price for my salvation. And he has redeemed us. As he rose from the dead on the day, we rose with him. And as we rose with him, a new life he gave us. A new beginning he gave us. A new hope he gave us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The turnaround is so great and so enormous. Is more than any progression that you can ever think of. The turnaround is so wonderful that what you have now, the world cannot take it from you. So don't surrender your salvation to the world by allowing the world to condemn you. Because Christ himself has not condemned you. Therefore, the world does not have any right to condemn you. Christ has called you out of that darkness. Do not return into that darkness, because he has given you a hope and a future. And as you come round the table this morning, I want you to say thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. For bearing all my sins and shame, in love you came and gave me amazing grace. Let's bow down our heads, and those serving the table this morning, please come forward.